Thank you so much for that, Tim, Holly. Rachel, thank you for playing. I appreciate that. It's great to see families serving the Lord together, isn't it? It encourages my heart to see that. Take your Bibles, please. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to continue looking at individuals there and how God used them and worked in their hearts and their lives to leave us an example of faith. And we're going to start reading in verse 8 tonight, this morning. So the time change really got me. It's not night, it's morning. Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to look at Abraham obeyed by faith. Do you ever think it takes faith to obey? It takes faith to obey. I watched Turner Classic Movies. I like to watch those sometimes. I watched the part of the movie like The Longest Day about the invasion of D-Day and Normandy and Omaha beaches in Europe. And I was certainly way too young to remember that, but it struck me as the men that left their landing crafts and stormed the beaches not knowing the end of the day. But they obeyed because it was for God and country. And I think of some of the individuals in the Word of God that obeyed by faith. We're going to look at Abraham. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Back in Genesis chapter 12, it gives us the account of Abraham being called. It says, "Now the Lord said," Hebrews Genesis 12, 1, "Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for loving us, and thank you for this good day again. Lord, we thank you that you lead us today, even as you led Abraham. The question is whether we are going to obey and follow you as we should. Help us, Lord, to learn from Abraham, to learn from his faith. And Lord, help us to demonstrate that same faith in our lives as you lead us and guide us and direct us, that you might be pleased with our lives now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Moving is always hard. When we packed up in Marystown to move up here, I was looking forward to being here, but wasn't looking forward to moving, if you understand what I mean. We lived in that house for 10 years. And it's amazing what you accumulate in 10 years. Before, we'd lived in a house for 18 years. And oh my, the stuff we took to the dump. Stuff you don't need. But if you're moving, it helps to know where you're going and know someone else who lives there. Years ago, we'd only been married about 4 years, I guess, and through some circumstances, we had to move. The whole college we were in moved about 80 miles down the road, and we were living in the college housing there, and we had to move and to find a new place. I went and rented a place, and my wife didn't see it. Some of you guys are going, uh-huh. That was a nice little apartment and that, and you know, we had just two children at the time. Sarah was just a little baby then. But we moved to a place that we didn't know. We didn't know our neighbors. We knew the church we were going to be serving in, the college and all that, but it was kind of different. Think of Abraham and Sarah. Abraham, we see, he's 75 years old. He's not like I was in my mid-20s. God speaks to Abraham and says, get thee out of that country. You know, we know that that's Ur of the Chaldees, which now the area of Iran and Iraq and down that area, unto a land that I will show thee. Now, I don't know how this all played out, but in my mind somehow I think that Abraham's off, he's working during the day, and maybe like Moses, that God interrupts his day like God did with Moses, the burning bush, and God came in and he interrupts Moses, Abraham's day, and says, Abraham, I want you to leave Ur of the Chaldees and I want you to go and I'm going to show you the place. So he comes home. He says, Sarah, pack the dishes. What are we doing, Abraham? We're moving. Where are we moving to? I don't know yet. How long is it going to take? I don't know. How are we going to know when we get there? The Lord will show us. Now, guys, if we tried that, we'd have a bit of a rough time. What are we going to live in? I don't know. I don't know if Abraham lived in a house in Ur of the Chaldees. But moving is always hard. I like Genesis 12. So the Lord said unto Abram in verse 1, verse 6 says, or verse 4, I'm sorry, says, so Abram departed. He obeyed by faith. He didn't know how long his journey would be. He didn't know what his destination was. He didn't know what the circumstances were in the area that he was going. Abram, we see later on, has herds of cattle, and he's a prosperous man. He doesn't know how the land, if it's going to be land that's good for sheep and cattle. He doesn't know if there are going to be olive yards and vineyards and fig trees there. He doesn't know if there's a place he can plant. He doesn't know any of that. He just knows that God said, you're going to leave Ur of the Chaldees. I'm going to lead you. You follow me, and I'll tell you where to stop. So Abraham departed. Look, I got about 7 points this morning, 7 things I want to look at. First, I want to look at the faith of Abraham's move. The faith of Abraham's move. By faith, Hebrews 11 says, Abraham. By faith, Abraham. We see that phrase, by faith, over and over and over and over again. We see here it's through faith in a couple of them, but over and over, by faith. By faith. We have to understand there's two thoughts about that. First of all, Abraham was motivated by faith. He had the faith to make the choice. The faith to come home that day and tell Sarah, we're moving, and explain to her that they were going to follow God, and God was going to lead them, God was going to protect them, God was going to provide for them, God was going to show them their destination. The faith to make the choice. Sometimes that's the hardest for us. God tells us there's some things we are to do as Christians. God tells us there's some things we are not to do as Christians. And it takes faith to make that choice. Faith, remember what we said, faith is just simply reading the Word of God and obeying it. But it takes faith to say, I'm going to do, I mean, think about, it's a matter of tithing, giving 10% to the Lord. We do that by faith, believing that God is going to meet our needs. Scripture says, my God shall supply all your need, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And we tithe by faith. That's our motivation. The Word of God says we are to do it, and so we obey and we do it. And so Abraham was motivated by faith, but Abraham also was empowered by faith. It was not just the faith to make the choice, but the faith to continue day after day, week after week, month after month. And he made that trek, starting down in Ur of the Chaldees and going up around what we call the Fertile Crescent, the Tigris and Euphrates rivers, into the north and into what's now Syria, and then coming back down to a place called Haran. And he stayed there until his father died, and then coming down into the Promised Land. He was motivated by faith, but day by day he was empowered by faith. It's easy to do something right once. But to consistently do right day after day, week after week, to trust God. You know, we remember the Lord's Prayer. The scripture says, it says there, give us this day our daily bread. To trust God day by day. Brother Harper, he did a great Sunday school lesson this morning. But the thought of our works, we trust God day by day. He talked about how we are rich. Everyone in this room, we're rich beyond compare to most of the world. I think of friends we have serving as missionaries, and I was just looking at the Bartleys down in St. Lucia, and they had a work team down there, and they were doing some work on the building, and they obviously didn't have a ladder. Said one guy was standing, had somebody else on his shoulder so he could reach up to do the work. We wouldn't think of doing that. We're rich. But God says that every good gift we have comes from Him. And we are to trust Him day by day by day. We are to be empowered by faith. Even as Abraham was, as he made this trek. He did not, you know, sometimes we get this picture kind of Abraham and Sarah, and putting Sarah on a donkey and saying, okay, come on, Sarah. And Abraham walking, leading the donkey and going up the Tigris River Valley and across. No, there was a whole encampment that went with him. Servants and herds and flocks. His decision not only affected him, it affected his servants. Later on we see, and here in Hebrews it mentions Isaac and Jacob. It affected his descendants, the decisions he made by faith. So the faith of Abraham's move. The second thing we see is the timing of Abraham's move, when he was called. When he was called. Abraham, it said, when he was called to go out into a place, obeyed, and went out. We have a hard time sometimes either running ahead of God or lagging behind God. God wants to lead us in our life, but we have to understand, if somebody is leading, that means that I am following them. I saw one time, they make these baseball caps with all kind of foolish things on them, and they had this baseball cap and it had two bills on the cap that went like this. And it said, I'm the leader. Which way did they go? And you know what? Sometimes I'm afraid we're like that with God. That God is out leading and we're nowhere to be seen. Sheldon wrote a book called In His Steps. The premise was that each thing, each day, we would make a decision to follow in the steps of Jesus Christ. And a community pledged, under the leadership of their pastor, not just a church, but a community, pledged to follow in the steps of Christ for a year. But the key word is follow. It's follow. Don't run ahead of God's plan, or don't lag behind. The timing of Abraham's move. When he was called, he moved out. It's a Patch the Pirate song the kids used to sing. Do it now, don't delay. Don't put it off till another day. Do it now. How often we tell God, well, tomorrow, next week, when things get better, then I will obey and I'll do what you've asked me to do, but right now I can't do it. God says, no, now is the time. This is the accepted time. Then third, we see the destination of Abraham's move. The destination. Hebrews says to go out to a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. He obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. Abraham knew that God would give him the land. From the time he received this message from the Lord in Ur of the Chaldees, he said, I'm going to give you this land for an inheritance. Funny thing about inheritance, it almost always seems to be down the road, doesn't it? The Bible says we have, as Christians, have an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, reserved in heaven for us. But Abraham is going to receive this foreign inheritance. Abraham, we know, came and lived in the land. He went down to Egypt for a time. He knew he was out of God's will for that. He shouldn't have gone down there. Came back, lived the rest of his days in the land. But he didn't really see the occupation of the land. And his descendants didn't see it for generations. Till the children of Israel returned from Egypt and under the leadership of Joshua occupied the land. Became their inheritance. But the thing is that inheritance was Abraham's, whether he had received it then or not. It still was his. God had told Abraham, I'm going to give you the land. There's an old saying. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it for me. Sounds good, doesn't it? But let me ask you a question. If God says it, does your believing it add any credibility to it?
No.
No. We should say, God said it, that settles it. I mean, God said he created the world in 6 literal 24-hour days, and that should settle it for us. God said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, and that settles it for us. See, God said it, and that settles it. Abraham chose to obey. It says, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. But God showed him day by day. I don't believe there's a day that Abraham woke up, time to move the encampment, that he didn't have a clear understanding of his destination that day. Why? Psalm 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God said, I'm going to show you the way. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to direct you. You get up this morning, I'm going to give you wisdom and direction for the day. You don't need to know what's going to happen tomorrow and next week and next month and next year. No, we need to be good stewards and good planners. I understand that. But God says, you don't need to know the destination right now. All you need to know is to obey today. And so we have to understand that God calls us. God doesn't necessarily call us and tell us when he calls us that in 2 years you're going to be here, and 3 years here, and 5 years here, and then 12 years down the road you're going to be here, and 20 years. Do you know if he told us that, we'd be scared to death. So, Lord, that's not going to happen to me. No, you're not going to, But we can handle today. We wake up in the morning and the Lord says, okay, today I want you to obey me. I want you to be faithful. I want you to keep yourself from sin. And I want you to be a witness for me. And as we learned in Sunday school, do good works. That's what I want you to do today. And then tomorrow we wake up and we do the same thing. And we keep, every day, we keep moving forward a little bit and moving forward a little bit and moving forward a bit. You know, there's Sometimes we think it's kind of a mystery, the will of God. Some college, when you're in college ministry, what's God's will for my life? And college students would ask that, and they'd want you to be able to tell them from your seat of omniscience where they were going to be in 20 years and what they were going to be doing. What's God's will for my life? I said, I don't know. But I know what God's will for you is today. Go to your classes, study, pay your bills, work hard. I know that's God's will. You do what's right today and do what's right tomorrow. And you know, if I start here and God's will for my life is to make it over there to that rail, and I say, okay, today I'm gonna do what I know is right, and I take a step. Tomorrow, today I'm gonna do what's right, and I take, and you know, if I do that every day, where am I going to be in 2 years, 3 years, 5 years? I'm gonna be in the center of God's will. It's not knowing something nebulous in the future and saying I'm going to kind of know. It's directing myself day by day. Abraham did not know where he was going to end up when he left Ur of the Chaldees. But he knew I need to obey today. He knew that God is going to direct my steps every day. So the destination of Abraham's move, we see the patience of Abraham's move as well. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. Abraham lived as a stranger. That's what a sojourner is. A sojourner is someone that is just traveling through. There's an old song, "This world is not my home, I'm just passing through." A sojourner. He did not become part of the heathen of the land. He lived in the midst of them. And we see, as we look through the Bible history, we see every time someone became a part and associated and intermingled with the heathen of the land, that it brought disaster. And Abraham was patient. He knew the land would be his, but he didn't have to demand it right now. He was patient. You see, we have, as I said, we have an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, reserved in heaven for us. We don't have to demand it right now. The Bible says we are a kingdom of priests. One day we will rule and reign with Christ. We had a family fun night on Friday night. It was a great time. Great time. Lowell brought his crokinole board, and he was shooting those things back across at me. And I think, you know, he made the rules up as we went along. And I was so excited because we had some children here from the neighborhood that came in, and I was so excited. And I was playing badminton with some, and Mrs. Holman was playing ping pong with this little fella, CJ, and you know, getting to know him a little bit better. They're going out and they're getting ready to leave. One little girl looked up at me and she says, "Are you the boss of this place?" I said, "Well, I guess so. I'm the pastor here." But you know, the thing is, we don't have to demand that we're going to be the boss of this place. We don't have to demand our rights. We don't have to demand we're going to be in charge. You know, the Bible says one day we will rule and reign with Christ. We don't have to demand that right now. Abraham was patient. Notice as well the humility of Abraham's move. Dwelling in tabernacles. Now we use that tabernacles, and we think of the tabernacle in the wilderness and all that, but tabernacles is just really another word for a tent. Living in tents. Now like I say, I don't know what they lived in Ur of the Chaldees. They might have always been a nomadic group and always lived in tents. But, I mean, think of the homes we live in. We have all the comforts. They were warm this morning. We had running water. We had hot water. There's food in the cupboards. We have more room that we need. We have comfortable furniture. Think if God called you from that to live in a place where you actually lived in tents. Knew a missionary that lived exactly that way. North Africa. He lived in a Bedouin community in a tent. Closest civilization, 40 or 50 miles away, and that was about a day's drive because of the roads and the conditions. But you know what? He was patient with that. He was content with that. Why? Because he was in God's will. He says, I can humbly live in a tent because I'm serving God in this place. See, we need to be less concerned with the condition of our living and the circumstances of our living than we are with the purpose for our living. We live in, and you know, I like my comfort as much as anybody else. But we're not called to a life of comfort, we're called to a life of service. The humility of Abraham's move. And then we see the promise of Abraham's move. Hebrews tells us, and Abraham didn't know this when God called him, that he was going to have a son. He knows the promise there in Genesis chapter 12 that in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And he knows that if that's going to be the case, then there has to be some legacy that he's going to leave. But it says, with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. The promise, the great promise, there's really two. The first, which is a little less than the second. The first was the promise of the land. But the second promise in Genesis chapter 12 is the promise of the Messiah that would come through the line of Abraham. That Isaac and Jacob were heirs to the land. Heirs to that promise of the land. But they also were heirs to the promise of the Messiah. You see, back from Genesis in the beginning, from Genesis 3, God promised a Messiah would come and would defeat Satan and make heaven available to everyone who trusted in him. Abram had no children at the time of the move. We know, and you probably remember that, you know, the angels come and tell Abraham and Sarah they're going to have children, and they're well up in, you know, 90 and 100 years of age, and Sarah laughs and says, yeah, that's right, that's going to happen. You know, I'm 90 years old. Am I really going to have a baby? And God says, were you laughing? No, not me. I wasn't laughing. Do we do that sometimes? We kind of laugh when God tells us he's going to use us to do something. And say, look at me, I'm not equipped. I'm not able. Physically, that's not possible. That was what Sarah was saying, right? But God worked. She had a son, Isaac. Why? Because she trusted God. Abraham trusted God. And his trust benefited the generations to come. His trust benefited right down to the time of Christ. And his trust benefits us today because he trusted in God. The promise of Abraham's move. And then last this morning, the motivation of Abraham's move. For he looked for a city which hath a foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham took the long view. He looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. Abraham lived with a view of eternity. With eternity's values in view, Lord, with eternity's values in view. May I do each day's work for Jesus with eternity's values in view. Abraham could be content to live in a tent because he knew that he had reserved for him a city that had foundations. We don't necessarily think so much of that. We see a great building like this and we don't think about the foundation. The men worked for weeks putting in the foundation of the building so that it would not move with the frost. It would not move as the seasons change, and it would not be the rest of the structure would not be affected. Abraham lived in a tent. He says, I'm content with that. Because I know that God's building me a city that has foundations. It's unmovable. I won't have to move anymore. We're told about that city in the book of Revelation. Chapter 21, verse 10, it says, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Talks about the city and it talks about the walls. In verse 14, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Down in verse 19 of that chapter, it talks about the foundations again. And the foundations of the wall or city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, and the 11th jacinth, and the 12th an amethyst. 12 foundations. Not foundations of concrete like we have here, but foundations of jewels. Think of the difference. Abraham didn't live in a city. He didn't live in a home that was built upon a foundation. He lived in a tent. He never owned a home his whole life, as far as we know. He says, you know, I'm content with my circumstances here on earth because God is building me a place. I'm looking for a city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Do you know if we can look down the road and see that one day things will be better? One day we'll not live in this old world of sin. One day we'll sit with Jesus Christ. One day we'll have our inheritance. One day we'll walk into that mansion that Christ said that I'm going to prepare a place for you. He's preparing a mansion for us. That one day we'll live in a great city whose builder and maker is God, whose streets are paved with gold, and whose foundations are encrusted with jewels. We can be content with some of the inconveniences of life today. We can say, God, today is not perfect for me. Troubles came my way and problems came my way. There are difficulties, but I can live like this. I can survive through this because I know you're building a city with foundations for me. Because I know that although I live today in a changeable world, that we sometimes it seems that we can't trust what the world calls truth today is not necessarily truth for them tomorrow. But we can trust in the Word of God and trust in the everlasting God because He's building us a city that has foundations, that is unmovable. And so God calls us in this troubled time, 1 Corinthians 15:58, be steadfast, be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. By faith, Abraham obeyed. By faith. Just a couple thoughts. Are you willing to obey and move by faith today? What does the Lord want you to do? I don't necessarily know. I know if you're not saved, He wants you to be saved. I know if you're not baptized, He wants you to follow. And if you're saved and you're not baptized, He wants you to follow Him in baptism. I know, you know, the simple things, but it may be God's laying on your heart something that you believe that God wants you to do. Are you willing to step out by faith? Say, God, by faith, I will step out. I will trust Your leadership. God's timing is always perfect. God called Abraham to leave at exactly the right time for Ur of the Chaldees. He moved him up the Fertile Crescent at exactly the right time. He got them to Haran in the north, and he stayed there for a time until exactly the right time for him to move down, come to Bethel, come into the Promised Land. His timing is always right. God has brought you here by appointment. God's timing in your life is right. God has you here for a reason, for a purpose in this day, in this time. The question is, are we going to be faithful to His purpose? The last thought, God does not lead where He cannot keep. God does not lead where He cannot keep. David said, I was young and I'm old, but I've not seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. Church at Philippi, the church at Macedonia, was told by my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Christ said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, what, the mundane things of life, things we chase after so much, all these things shall be added unto you. So what's our invitation this morning? What do you know God wants you to do? Obey. Step out by faith and do it. Understand that God's timing and God's place is perfect. God has you here for a reason. That reason is to serve Him. Be faithful to all God calls you to do. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes, please?